From health and wellness to education,
we need to be thinking about what it takes for students to succeed.
From art and politics to social issues of the day,
we have young Black males who are thriving in their communities and who are being shown as leaders.
The journey is what matters.
I would say to all of us, we can be better than we are.
Let's join Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, president of Howard University, and his guests as they take steps on the journey.
She is a stunning mezzo-soprano whose voice has graced ensembles and solo performances, and whose passion for music has been an example for aspiring students of all genres. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest today on the journey is Professor Kahembe V. Eichelberger. Welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, you've been a member of the voice faculty at Howard University for quite some time. What brought you to Howard University?
I came here back in 1986 as a teacher to begin teaching in the music theater program, which was a newly formed program and hadn't started. So I was basically building it. And the idea was for me to be here part-time temporarily until it got built, so that I could keep doing some of the things I was doing. But the plan was to just be here for a short period of time. I had no plan of loving the teaching profession. It turned out that I did and wanted to continue on.
Now, you're native of Chicago.
Yes.
What was it like growing up in Chicago?
Cold. The hawk was there living by my door. That's what we call it, the hawk. But, you know, it was a little limiting. My mother was quite restrictive, kept us at bay, kept us very close to home. I was very close to my grandparents. I was a little artsy geek, and I did not participate in any arts. I liked to go see them. And so I would go to the art galleries on my own, go to all the museums on my own. I was also a science geek, so this is unusual for a kid in a ghetto, but I really had this real strong interest. So growing up, I was always interested in things mechanical, things scientific, things medical. In fact, that's why I came to Howard. As a student, I came here to go to med school, go to pre-med.
What did you do your bachelor's and master's in here at Howard?
I did my bachelor's in music. After my first semester, I really tousled with the idea and realized that medicine was not something that I could delve into. I wasn't fully equipped. And I said, well, let's try music. I hadn't. And of course, my family and the teachers around said, well, she's just sort of trying things out. We'll let her go ahead and we'll let her in. And they literally let me in. The dean at the time said, okay, sing a song, Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti, Do, and I did. He said, sing middle C. I did. I sang a note, and it happened to be middle C. I had no understanding of how that happened. And they said, okay, Dean Fax said, this will be as much of a challenge for us as it will be for you. And so we were in, and I still wasn't sure what I would major in music, because I had had no experience, no singing experience, no piano experience, just a really wide listening experience. My mother had recordings of everything from Aretha Franklin to Tosca, I mean everything, Count Basie, all of the recordings. And of course, when it's time to do chores, what do? Put a stack of recordings on one side, and then when you get to a certain point, you turn them over. And that was my music experience. And so I got a chance to hear a lot of things. Once I got here, I kind of recognized some of those pieces at one time.
Right, but clearly it served you well, because the range of music that you perform, and I would say the excellence with which you do it, is clearly brings a lot of accolades. So as you instruct, what do you really try to get students to do in terms of trying to bring out the best in them?
Well, there's so many things and that really cannot be achieved in 4 years. That's the first thing they have to understand. Much of the vocal development has to be done in years later when they are maturing physically and mentally and emotionally. So with that, I try to make sure that they learn some good habits, that they learn good discipline for the practice. That's difficult because they think they have to learn the song for the jury, for the exam, and that's it. And they need to build the voice. The vocalizing and the vocal exercises are really for the development of the voice during this time and also for the warming up of the voice so they can sing safely. It's really critical to do that. It's just like a runner has to warm up their muscles. A swimmer has to warm up muscles before they move because it'll cramp up or damage the structure. So it's really critical to do that. And in the process of doing that, we have to know some really important hygienic aspects of taking care of the voice, but not just the voice, the body. I'm a physical person, and I believe in using the physical attributes that we have, our strength, to work out and work on it. And then the last aspect has to do with being emotionally healthy, spiritually healthy, and understanding that this is a pathway. We just chose a means to make our money to live on through music, through the arts. But it is not how we're defined.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Professor Kahembe Eichelberger. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Clearly, you've worked with a wide variety of students, some of whom have gone on to great things.
Mm-hmm. I realize I've worked with quite a few students, and they've all done different things. Some have gone far into the world of business of music, even though they were great singers. A young girl named Sutherland, she's up in New Jersey. Taraji Henson was one of those music theater majors who we didn't really have great plans for singing, but we worked with her, and but I knew that she was a fantastic actress. Of course, Eric Robeson. There are some jazz students that we had, Shakara Rogers, doing very well now. One that I'm particularly fond of, and that's Aquia Aldridge. She was an undergraduate student here in jazz studies, and then came and did her master's in social work, and then went back into the career of music, doing very well, has built it up very slowly and systematically. So there are a number of students who get into it.
Now, along with three other Howard alum, you are founder of Nation House Positive Center Watutu School.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, wow. When I was a student here, we formed a group called Nation, African Liberation Art Ensemble. Now, this was going on during a period when the school had some unrest. It was when the students took over the A building, took over the Fine Arts building. And that's because there were no Black studies here. There weren't enough represented in the curriculum. And so that was part of the issue. The group Nation was a multimedia group representing each area in fine arts, the music area, the art area. In fact, we have one of our members teaching there now, Akili Ron Anderson, and the theater area. And we used a faculty person at that time to do poetry. Later on, the group began to, and dance as well. So it was multimedia. It was very eclectic. And we were doing our own music, not standards. So it was based on social issues. This is getting to the point. The group began a study session. And we said, well, why are we here? We're not here to become stars. We're here to bring a message. We're here to talk about things that are going on as a performing arts group. So we won't be going the commercial route. So the idea was, in the process of looking at ourselves as performers, we decided to have a small study group and study Fanon, study Facing Mount Kenya, a number of books. And in that process, we saw that we needed to perhaps have some money-making entities in the community that would serve the community. And we had ideas. We said, okay, well, on Georgia Avenue, we'll go get a thrift store right down the street here, very close to here. And we said, no, we could do a laundromat. And then that way the parents could go in there and do work, take, you know, just ideas. It wouldn't be too much capital involved. But then one of the members, or two of the members were married. All of those folks were Howard alum. One was in med school, one was in fine arts, music education, and then eventually law school. And they were married and were having family, and one of those children was growing, and they were getting to the point where, wait a minute, we don't like what's going on in the school where she is. Some of those things are not academically challenging. They're not culturally connected to us. So maybe we can start a school. And we got a house on Park Road up the street from here, gutted it all out, started scraping and painting and digging around, and Akili Ron Anderson made the furniture, made the little chairs and tables. I cooked and I did the books, the administrative parts, and we made meals for them, breakfast, lunch, and snack in the afternoon. And we started an academic program of children, about 14 children. This will be our 41st year. So we get a dollar, we buy a nail, and we keep it all together.
Fascinating. Absolutely. Yes. Fascinating. So you've performed on television, radio, recordings, in front of Supreme Court justices, etc. What is the most difficult arena to perform in as a vocalist of your stature?
In front of students and colleagues and parents, your own family. The closer they are, the harder it is. Because everybody, and then the next level of difficulty is, oh, here she comes, she's going to sing. I know it's going to be wonderful. You know, I appreciate that. I always appreciate the support, because as I tell my students, well, you know, people come not to criticize you, but to always be supportive of you. But they do have certain expectations that sometimes it's always going to be super, super, super dynamic. And I'd like to write the bio that said, I sang, because it's not promised to be there or to be as good as it was the day before or the times before. And I recognize that. So I have to work very hard, vocally, mentally, spiritually, in every way. Physically, I have to get up and run and go to the gym at 5 o'clock and get myself awake and moving. So I don't take any part of it for granted. Yeah, it can all be nerve-wracking. Every time I put my foot on the side of the stage or the wings, I said, why did I say yes? The reward is the challenge. I actually like learning new music better than performing it. That's a big challenge, that process. I don't tell that to a lot of people. I guess everyone knows now. But the process is really energizing. And once I get it or get it coached by someone, sometimes I would go to Mrs. Holloman, our former professor here, and say, Mrs. Holloman, how am I supposed to interpret this? What do I do with this piece? What do you think about it? Or listen, can you listen to me? You know? So, yeah, it's always a challenge, and the closer you are, the more difficult. Singing up there in 3001 is probably the hardest thing to do at this point.
Well, since you stated that, I want to ask you to leave us with a few bars of what I've heard you sing that is still my favorite, and that is Wade in the Water. But I will say this. Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Professor Kehembe Eichelberger. And we're very glad at Howard University that you waded into Howard University's water.
Thank you.
Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, right here on the Howard University Radio Network.
Quality music and these three.
Tony and I used to do mornings together in Philadelphia very long time ago.
Yes. Yeah.
Actually, when Tony and I parted, I was pregnant with my daughter, who is now 17.
Right.
This
now,
is
wait a
quite
minute.
A, yeah.
What's your daughter's name?
Tanita?
I'm new around here. I don't know what your daughter's name is.
Tony is not my baby daddy. Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know what you were trying to let the listeners know.
It's Afternoons with Tony, Mo, and George. 96.3 WHUR.